phone system. I find you in the shows and moving are great. And being a nerd, the sign system is
everywhere. Hello, 你好，你好。我个名系冯安宇，呢个系 Design System Office Hours Podcast。Oh, for all of our probably 1,000 listeners in Hong Kong and China, welcome back to the Design System Office Hours podcast. We have a special guest today with us, Val Poon. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. 多谢各位.
PJ's here also, but PJ doesn't understand Cantonese, and my Cantonese is a little elementary.
Oh, I'll be super helpful in this conversation. I'll just sit here and... and be the gringo who I am. My Cantonese is a little rusty. And by rusty, I mean I don't know shit. So I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, we're stoked to have Val on here. Val's one of our 1,100,000 listeners and friends that we know from LinkedIn and on Twitter. And PJ has been very complimentary. And we're very excited to... reintroduce guests onto the podcast. So Val is our second guest after Aisha, who was our first guest in episode 2, I believe. And yeah, welcome. And today we wanted to talk about TLDR, utilizing design systems as a profession and as a discipline to level up your skills as a early career designer. So we're very excited to talk to you a little bit about that.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah. So I am a bit biased on this, quite frankly, because I've had a lot of success working with designers of more early career and then mid-level career. And we actually had a designer on my previous team, Jamie, that we've coached and mentored through a career change. So she came to us as a newer early career designer at Hulu, and she had made a career change into product design and was on the design systems team. And throughout the year that I have worked with her, was really able to bring her into this big systems thinking point of view, and really saw her excel as a product designer, and really through the entryway of joining a design systems team. So I wanted to get your feedback on being a part of a design systems team as an early career designer.
Yeah, I resonate with her. When I first came to the team, it was also a career change. Traditionally, I'm trained more as an illustrator, and to be quite honest, an analog style one too, so very far away from the digital tech space. Luckily, my team and manager believed in me and saw something that I didn't see in myself. And since I kept emphasizing that I don't want to just be a visual designer and I want to make sure I'm in product, I think they made a very wise decision and took a big bet on me to just let me gun it and do it. And here we are. And every time I look at an interface now, like a button and everything, I don't take it for granted anymore. I'm happy, and it's. I feel like I have X-ray vision now when I use my computer, which is really cool. Maybe a little geeky, but still cool.
It's like you have an internal Chrome inspector that just launches from your brain just by saying, "Oh, let's let my brain right click in this app Zigma, and I could get all these different cool inspectable elements."
Exactly, I do feel that way.
Yeah, how do you feel in terms of the shift from this more analog to digital? How do you feel was the learning curve in terms of learning new tools like Figma or Sketch or whatever you ended up learning first?
Mm-hmm. When I first got this task, I was both excited and overwhelmed. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie The Dictator. There was this one scene where, maybe it's not a good reference to use. Anywho, I feel one minute I'm very excited, the other I'm overwhelmed, and it happens daily, which I think it's a good thing. I think it's called growth. That's what it is. And it's also very humbling and challenging because it's confronting when your team depends on you to kind of use the design system to align and have a reference for a single source of truth. It's a lot of weight on my shoulder, but I think it's good weight because I feel like I'm growing constantly every day by confronting this challenge.
Yeah, one of the big, I think, takeaways from, I remember one of my end of year reviews and like goal writing, goal setting and such, or at that specific time of year when we're recording this in January, a few years ago, was I wanted to be the go-to person for anything that was component library related. So while I did not design everything that was a part of the system, I wanted to be the person that was more or less knowledgeable on the canon of the system and had a wide understanding of all the parts. Like, how do you feel in terms of having that, the responsibility of knowing a little bit about everything as a part of the system?
I feel inspired because I think taking on this role requires me to constantly check in on how my teammates are doing and what they've been designing and developing, and just seeing how creative people can be with constraints, like, just inspires me to keep things going and keep the kitchen clean for everyone to cook up delicious meals online.
What do you enjoy the most about it? What areas are the most fun for you? And why would you encourage someone else to get into this space or not?
Mm-hmm. I like the or not part, but let's focus on why it's great to be in this role. I think it kind of encourages an early career and new designer like me to reach out and not see asking question as an intimidating thing, because in order to understand what people need in our design system, I'm constantly asking questions, like big or small, technical or not, just to make sure we're all aligned, because that's all it is. We're trying to communicate asynchronously through a single source of truth, right? So having that in mind really encouraged me to ask questions and just reach out without hesitation.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the role, I think, is the split between other disciplines that I think sometimes are a little bit forgotten. I think as a product design generalist, we're not as expected to do things like product management, product ownership, user research on our own, or like program management. And as someone on a design systems team, you might have to do a little bit of all of that. So specifically in terms of just like stakeholder research, I love that you mentioned that, because you do have to sort of shake the notion that asking questions is bad, and you have to be able to be comfortable and talk amongst your colleagues and to really try to understand, especially if you're new to the position or new to the role, try to understand where the team left off and really try to communicate their intent and try to see, as you've talked to team A or feature team A, how you might be able to take some of those learnings into another feature team.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause our products right now, it stems from one main parent product into two other ones. So yeah, like, it also encourages me to collaborate with people that aren't directly working with me and aligning with them, and then seeing what they took from our design system to implement to theirs. And then like the inspiration just goes in a loop, and it's really cool to see. Yeah.
How hard was it to get into this for you? I think folks oftentimes don't give themselves the credit, or there's some concern that they don't have enough skills to do anything, let alone design systems. You know, I think there's imposter syndrome all over the place. So I'd be interested to hear what that entry point looked like for you. And, you know, how did you kind of hit the ground running?
Entry point for me was it started with the question and curiosity. I was like, oh, where is our design system? And do we have a document where I can reference, since I'm new and like literally green? And the answer was, we don't have one. We've tried before, but didn't work out. And so I think I just took initiative to get something going on Figma. And then now it's a project, and a project that also affected our other two products. I think it just starts with curiosity and just being okay that you might be wrong and have to start over when a component isn't built right. I think that's just the nature of technology. And it's great that I get to practice that and confront that fear and imposter syndrome early on in my career and really build that muscle.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things about our paths is we both came from something that was different. Like, and we're, as Fiji like to say, we're old as dirt. So we've been, you know, in many different roles. Specifically for myself, I was a graphic designer. I went to school for graphic design. I did not do things that were as tangible and physical, because I couldn't draw, I couldn't paint, I couldn't illustrate, but I could lay type out and I could, you know, design magazines and annual reports and all that fun stuff that no one does anymore, right? But the skills were very similar. And I think when doing things like print layout, magazine layout, it was working with grids, working with typography, making sure things snapped on some grid measurement. What do you feel like in terms of systems thinkers or design system maintainers are some of the skills that design generalists would want to dive a little deeper in if they're interested in design systems work?
I think definitely the core elements that create a page, the boring stuff, the not shiny stuff, like spacing, people don't really pay attention to that. I think I'm learning the beauty in that, and like how negative space on a page helps define and create like visual room to breathe, like things like that. Or typography is a great one that I'm still trying to master. Let's see. Icons are pretty underrated as well. All the little things that like build a component, things that people don't see, wow, that's a nice design, but they do click it often and interact with it daily. All those little things. Color is a great one. That is underrated as well, like how they complement each other. Now we're tapping into accessibility to beyond complementary colors, if it's even readable, things like that. Contrast, it just goes back to, like you said, the basic skills that we learn in design, very translatable and very repeatable. So definitely never discount on your past if you didn't come from a traditional background, because very, very translatable and didn't go to waste for me. Thank God.
Look, if you want to make a lot of money, just focus on boring stuff. I am serious as serious can be. Focus on boring, mundane stuff that no one thinks about, but silently runs society. That's where you make a ton of money. And that's where I've noticed a lot of systems designers tend to gravitate towards as well, which is funny to hear you say that.
The money?
No, the boring stuff.
Oh.
But I mean, you know, money too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the, what PJ likes to call like do more with less, right? So being able to define it once, whether it's in your design tool or in documentation, and like you said, Val, be able to influence other products that are within the family, and being able to get to market faster. Like I think one of the things that I didn't realize until, you know, I started this job is that PJ and I our companies are more similar than dissimilar. Like we're both on teams that are attempting to monetize as much as possible. And that means like sometimes we're designing some things that are a little, less flashy, and like we're handling things like forms, inputs, very info dense interfaces. PJ luckily gets to do consumer facing stuff. I don't get to do consumer facing anymore.
Oh, poor Davey.
Oh.
But it's okay.
It'll be okay.
The checks are still coming in, so I'm
I was about to say
in this climate, yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, one big thing that I only realized, I think, when I started leading the design system team at Disney was the communication aspect of all of this. And I think very early on, I was very hyper-focused on, as a person trying to spin up a system, very cautious and very heads down on the artifact itself. So the library needs to be the thing. And while I was out there communicating and getting advocates from the engineering and product, I really started to understand that a lot of this is also communication, like you had mentioned. And a lot of it is being able to work effectively with cross-functional partners, being able to horse trade is one that I like to say is like, we help you do this thing, you help us do this other thing. It's a lot of our job is also as we're planning out work, trying to align resourcing and trying to see what we could get done, like with the limited resources that we have.
Yeah, I second what you said exactly. I feel like my design philosophy aligns with design system a lot. It's product design to me is 80% communication, and you spend 20 really designing the solution. 80% because if you don't understand the problem, which takes a lot of communication and constant alignment, the solution wouldn't be relatable or desirable. It might be flashy, but it might not last, which is something like that a system strives for, right? It's sustainable, it's scalable. So definitely communication is a big one to really run it and grow it and keep it going.
How do you communicate with the broader company on related to the design system?
With our favorite tool, Teams.
I've not used Teams. Love Teams. I've seen and heard the shade, but I have not used it.
I love it very much. But that's a good question. Thank God my team is only double digit. I think specifically for design, I'm talking about across three products. I think there's roughly like 30 something of us. So I keep it personal since it hasn't really scaled yet to like, you know, a much bigger number. I just ping people, or better yet, people started coming to me to talk about design system and they want to know the how to and when to. And so instead of going like the survey route, which initially I wanted to, because, you know, as designers, we get one line of requests, we just get so excited and spin it into 10 million ideas. But then I realized like it's quicker if I just hop on a 10-minute call with someone and see how they're using it or not using it. And then through that check-in, just like make sure they're onboarded correctly and I can address any questions, concerns, or even suggestions they have and implement it that way. It's been working out for me. I'm sure when our team grows, I'm going to have to eventually do surveys and more official stuff. But for now, it's pretty fluid and nonchalant.
Enjoy. That's a fun time. Fluid, nonchalant, casual. That's awesome.
I know. It is a fun time.
Yeah, do it as long as you can. I mean, someone on the design systems Twitter community had mentioned today, like they're launching their design system tomorrow, and they were asking what would be, you know, what would be some tips on where to go next. And very similar to like what Val said, I think when you're at a size where you could work with people one-on-one and white glove this, sit down and see how people could use the artifacts or documentation and really give them that magic moment to be able to see, oh shit, like you could really save a lot of time. Thank you. Like, and I think you do that numerous amounts of times. And at Disney, my coworker Ray was able to really try to work with almost every designer to some capacity. So that it doesn't mean like working with them for a whole sprint, but it's really about maybe seeing if you could work with someone for 15 minutes at a time and either reviewing work or showing them how to link to our libraries or pull components. And when you're able to do that, it really opens up the door and opens up the, I would say, maybe even opens up the imagination of what they could do with your artifacts.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep it personal. Yeah. I feel like no one likes surveys anyway. So keep it short, simple, personal is the way to go. As long as I can, like you said, there's a time and a place.
Oh, can't hear PJ anymore.
Yeah.
And you could tell when PJ's on his iPhone headphones or his computer. He's trying. Man, thank goodness we don't do like a live. I've done the live. I've only done one thing. No, I've done two things live. And that was there's a design system happy hour, the social hour. I did that. And I was like, oh shit, gotta dial into this thing. Gotta make sure I sound okay. And I didn't have this microphone at the time. I had a different one. So I had to make sure like I was talking into the microphone. I was looking into the camera and that was trickier. Because you can't really edit that stuff down, but imagine that would be difficult.
Nope. Yeah, it's definitely tough to live stream. Mm. Aww.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll ask you. I have another good question for you before we wrap this. We'll hopefully we're. Oh, there you go.
Welcome back, PJ. Thanks for tuning in to episode 30.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in for episode 30. This is Davey and Val. Like we have PJ on the line here. So PJ's been having some issues plugging and unplugging his peripherals, but we've gotten through that, and you know it's hurt our velocity a little bit, but I'll take
it. We missed him while he was gone. Yeah, you were missed.
Yeah, Val. In terms of all of the different facets of our work, there's I feel like the discipline itself, design system maintainer, design system designer, product designer on a design system team, whatever we end up calling ourselves, there's so many bits and pieces that are a part of this job. Which facet of your current job right now or future are you most excited about?
Such a good question. I can give you 10 million answers. But I think practicing delayed gratification is a big one for me. Because by doing it, I learned that even if we come up with a new component, we can't just go live overnight. It has to be slowly introduced. So that's a really good one for me to practice because I'm young, you know, we're impatient. Like we have no attention span these days. So it's been very humbling and good to work on this. Another thing is seeing other teams' design systems go live. I think it's been amazing to really inspire other teammates to create design systems as well and learn from them and then just hyping each other up each time we check in on each other. Another thing is also learning to fail fast and be happy with mini wins. That's a great one. And then I also am excited to see the team scale because the return on investment might not be obvious, but its impact is crazy. Like I'm talking about, we just launched our button as one of the main ones. And oh my God, a button is so powerful when done right. So that is exciting and seeing more buy-ins over time because of that as well. Because essentially all websites' purpose is for us to click that CTA button. So to be able to contribute to that has been a very cool learning experience for me. And yeah, I think I can stop there unless we want to talk about AI taking over and then I can just train it and be on a beach.
Yeah, I do remember I said to one of my old coworkers at Hulu last year, before all of this press with all the different AI products that have been coming out, is like, you know, a lot of this work could be automated, right? And he's like, no, absolutely not. Like, they can't do what I do. They can't create type ramps like I create. They can't. I was like, okay. I guess you've never used a computer before. But we're at over 30 minutes, hopefully, with some of my edits. And okay, 多謝曬大家. Bye-bye.
新年快樂. 恭喜發財.